Welcome back into the show. Little bit of breaking news here. Adam Schefter reporting moments ago. Arizona Cardinals owner Michael Bidwell is accused of gross misconduct, including cheating, discrimination, and harassment in an arbitration claim filed Tuesday by former Cardinals executive Terry McDonough to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. McDonough maintains that both he and former Cardinals head coach Steve Wilks were left no choice but to follow Bidwell's plan to use burner phones to communicate with former Arizona general manager Steve Keim, while Keim was serving a five-week suspension after pleading guilty to extreme DUI in Arizona. McDonough says he still has the phone, which he says contains the evidence of the cheating scandal, as well as the documentation and eyewitness testimony on each item presented in the petition. In a detailed response sent to ESPN, the Cardinals strongly denied the allegations, calling them outlandish. Wow. McCarthy said this, Jim McCarthy, "We are reluctantly obliged to provide a public response along with the broader context for some disappointing and irresponsible actions by Terry McDonough." Jim McCarthy, if you don't know, he's a media relations or public relations advisor to the Cardinals. He said, in quote, he claims he has made an arbitration filing, and all of those claims are wildly false, reckless, and an opportunistic ploy for financial gain. "Our position was consistent with many efforts we've made to accommodate Terry during his time with the team, despite difficulties in his personal life and his often volatile demeanor toward colleagues." Whew. Wild, dude. Absolutely nuts going on with the Cardinals situation. Man, Angel, it's like every week or every month we've got some kind of scandal happening with some of these teams. Absolutely bizarre. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Missed that one for the lunch rush today, so I thought that get that out there. Well, as more comes out on this, we'll see what has to happen. But boy, that is an interesting story coming out there. I mean, are they going to be for sale next? If this is the owner, are the Cardinals up? You got the Commanders up? I mean, it's a fire sale. The Broncos just sold. Times, they are a-changing. Texter, Facebook messages said, "Imagine cheating this much and you still suck." Yeah, it's true. Go under the radar that way, though. Sucky cheating doesn't get caught. Nuggets back in action tonight against Houston. One of four games remaining at Houston. Can they clinch the number one seed tonight? That would be huge for several reasons. Since the Nuggets joined the NBA, Angel, they have never won the number one seed in the Western Conference. They joined the NBA in 1976. They've never done this in their 46 NBA history, earning the number one seed in the Western Conference. They did win the conference a couple of times in the ABA. So this would be the first for them. The first question about this team right now is Nikola Jokic playing. What is the status of Nikola Jokic? What is Michael Malone saying about this one now, Angel? That it's a big injury, we got to worry about it?
Malone said this on a radio show down in Denver earlier this week. Quote, "Jokic will play when that calf is better. We're going to continue to be smart. Nikola is not missing games because we're resting him. Not a rest situation. This is a calf injury."
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that. I'm not going to question a guy's injury status. I'm not going to sit there and say, you know, this is a way of them resting him. But we're all thinking it. He played with that same injury against Philadelphia. So, did it get worse? And it must have. I don't know, man. I mean, do you have any concerns that if you rested Joker for the next 2 weeks, do you have any rust concerns with him? that it would take a little bit of time for him to get back into the swing of things. I suppose if there's a player that you're not concerned about with that, it would be Joker because of the style that he plays. I just sent you the old school Go with the Nuggets song, Angel. We're gonna need to work that up into our playoff talks here as we push for this team. So we'll get that rocking and rolling too. I just can't tell. I mean, calf tightness. Is this going to cost the Joker the MVP? Sitting out this many games. Has Giannis passed up the Joker? Giannis has won this multiple times too. So the whole argument of someone new should get it doesn't really work for Giannis, but Giannis is still playing. He's still going at it. It's a two-man race now, isn't it? And it's between Giannis and Joker. Joel Embiid has fallen out of favor. The guy who says that the championship, it's not the most important thing. But, I mean, that is what you're doing this for. Like, that's what this is all about. You watch sports to ultimately watch your team get to the championship. So I thought that was crazy. But is this going to cost the Joker? And, again, the Joker doesn't care. And the Nuggets certainly are looking at the bigger picture here. Because if Joker tears something or whatever, it's over. It's done. So do you even play him? I mean, we talked about this yesterday. Now I'm saying here in Malone's comments, because I heard that interview, I heard that piece. I don't know if I'm risking it now. You just can't afford to send him out there if he's favoring it or whatever. A lot of times you favor a bad calf, you mess up the other leg too. You just can't afford it, man. And surely they can beat Houston without Joker. And that's not necessarily the concern. The concern is there fear that Joker would have a little rust if he sits out for the rest of the week and pretty much all of next week? I think that's a legitimate concern. I think if there's a guy that can handle it, it's probably him. But I just don't know if I'm risking it. Go beat Houston. Do you shutter on down after that with your main guys? Do you give Jamal the next three games off? Do you give MPJ the next three games off? And those guys, I do worry about chemistry and rust, even if it's just a half of a week or so, or a week and a half. I would be concerned about that, you know. And you see it in football all the time. You know, you clinch your spot in the playoffs, and you're not going to play. Well, there's risk of getting hurt. But the counter to that is, do you lose momentum? I mean, I had a coach once told me in high school basketball, it's like, if you take 2 weeks off, like, if you take a couple days off of practice, you lose 2 weeks worth of what you've been building up to. You know, your stamina, just your ball skills, everything. If you take time off, it takes double time to get back up to where you were. Is that the truth with NBA guys that eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff? Probably not. I just don't like tempting fate here. Like, I just, the idea of saying, all right, we got four games left, let's just shut it down. And adding in the fact that you have the play-in games next week, so we're not starting the playoffs a couple of days after the regular season. So that's, it's a bit of a concern to me. I don't envy Michael Malone's decisions that he has to make right now.
So I was just trying to figure out the timeline of the next couple of weeks for the Nuggets. So their last game is Sunday, the 9th, against the Kings. They're at home for that one. And then, obviously, hopefully they would have locked up the one seed by that point. You would be playing the 8th seed out of the play-in tournament. That seed will not be determined until April 14th, which is a Friday. That is the last game of the play-in tournament. Mm. So the Nuggets wouldn't play until that following Sunday.
Wow.
So you would have, if you stopped playing, if you won tonight and you rested your starters tonight for the rest of the season, you'd have 5, 6, 7, 8, a full week, and then that Sunday.
Boy, I don't know. I mean, I like, there's positives to come from resting your guys. There's also negatives that come from taking too much time away. 2 weeks, if we were watching in the regular season, we would be like 2 weeks out. Okay, you got to shake the rust off. Joker is officially listed as questionable tonight. Jamal Murray is probable.
I think this is, it's interesting because the Nuggets have three road games before their last home game. I think if you had another home game in between there, you could see the starters come back for, you know, maybe a half or so. But it's tough to see them playing against any of these teams if they rest out the rest of the way. Maybe they play against Sacramento at home, you know, give them a couple of minutes in the first quarter just to shake the rust off in practice or whatever. But yeah, you have to be extremely cautious, and these decisions are going to be important for Malone and the coaching staff.
All right, so this isn't our official tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, but I just fired it up on Twitter. Should the Nuggets sit Jokic until the playoffs? I just want to get your thoughts on this, because there are positives and negatives to both. Like, Angel, if the playoffs were starting tonight, if this was game one, would Joker play?
Yes.
So the answer to the question is he's not injured. He's hurt.
Is Malone locking him up in a dark room in a cage?
Yes.
Feeding him scraps of meat, just every little bit, a little bit each day,
making him
hungry.
Making him mean.
And then Giannis wins the MVP, and he'll show him just a picture of Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Jokic will crumble it up like Rocky did to that Drago picture.
Yep.
Jokic will emerge from the cage into the light, hungry for a title.
And then you go win the title. Yeah, probably. Or he's in a dark cabin thing. Aaron Rodgers hooked him up. I did see Joker at the game the other night, though. He was there.
He was there on the bench, and he was actually calling plays.
But then they make him go back into the dark cabin after he leaves the game. It's like, get back in there. Stay there. Nurse your calf. Get hungry. I want you dreaming about basketball. You know, just thinking about it. 75% so far saying no. Well, the bummer is for us fans, Angel, is we're the ones who want the MVP for him. We want it for ourselves. Let's be real honest. Like, yeah, it's great for Joker, but we get that as bragging rights as Nuggets fans. We got a 3-time MVP. That does put him in the conversation of, you know, when you get into the greats. I don't know where you want to say it, top 20, top 10, whatever. But it just doesn't matter to him. And they probably had a conversation after the Philly game where it's like, hey, it's a little sore. Do we push this thing, man? Because you're it. This is a different team without you. Yeah, they beat Golden State. Yeah, they battled a bit against Phoenix. But ain't nobody trusting the Nuggets without Nikola Jokic. Just not happening. So do you rest him? You got 2 weeks. Is that too much rest? Or do you say, let's go lock up the number one seed at least and get it done? Because the difference between, you know, then the next three games, you got what, Thursday? Is it Thursday, Saturday, Sunday? After tonight, it's Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. I think it's a back-to-back, too. You're not going to play him in the back-to-back. Let's say he plays the next three games. You're not playing him back-to-back. So if he plays tonight, you lock it up. Then you go, okay, what's the difference? Thursday, let's not mess with it. And then you're not going to go, maybe you go one of those games, but you don't really mess with it. You don't get him many minutes, or you just suit him up and see what happens. There's no point to it except for rust and all that. But, I mean, how often do NBA players, I mean, do they really get rusty? Because it's not like Joker's shut down. He's in practice, isn't he? He's got to be shooting the basketball. Doing some semi, you know, moves at like 45, 50% or something. It's not like they just flat out shut down. So 84% so far, it's going up, saying no. The Nuggets should not sit Nikola Jokic until the playoffs. 20 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk more about the Nuggets. Also, the Colorado Avalanche. The Avs have been rocking still. I mean, they're setting themselves up for a great spot in these playoffs. You know, they stumbled against the Wild, but they came back and beat the Stars over the weekend. And they're going up against the Sharks tonight at 8:30. So what do they need to do to stay in their winning ways? We'll talk about all the Ball Arena teams. Wow, just completely forgot what they were. Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Don't go anywhere.
Judd Day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Today is one of the best days because it's Burger Madness Day at Cable's Pub and Grill. On Tuesdays, enjoy Burger Madness for $9.99. There's always great deals, and they have happy hour starting at 3 o'clock, 3 to 6 every single weekday. So take advantage of that along with some Burger Madness action. You won't be disappointed. That's Cable's Pub and Grill, where my friends meet. Good news for the Colorado Avalanche. All four injured Avalanche players right now, just four of them now, including Gabriel Landeskog, are going to be traveling with the team on its four-game road trip through California this week, according to head coach Jared Bednar. So Lehkonen, Landeskog, Josh Manson, Frankie is going to be there too with his lower body injury. They've all been skating individually, so they should be, I don't know, I just don't know what that means. Though with Landeskog, because we've been hearing for the last couple of weeks that he was pretty close, that he's been getting there, but I don't know. He had a recent skating session that, you know, bystanders or whatever, the media guys that were there were saying, okay, he's looking good, but it's just slow go right now. He's slowly starting to test his leg more during stop-start type exercises and things like that. So Frankie hasn't played since February 7th. So that was back when their first game back from the All-Star break. Josh Manson, he hasn't skated with the team since he got hurt back in, or since he messed up his finger. Was that March? Was that early March? I think it was fairly early March there. So, yeah, you got a lot of guys you're just trying to get in. Don't you feel like if you can get those players in, though, you're feeling like you're playing with house money a little bit? Because the fact is, this team hasn't lost many games. They lost two since March 9th. The Avs have been an extremely hot team. Getting, you know, McCarr and all that, those guys going again was big. But with key contributors out, the Avs have still found ways to win games. You know, they've got two in a row coming up at San Jose tonight 8:30, and then Thursday 8:30. They're in a very good spot right now. I mean, if you're an Avs fan, you're getting pretty pumped up about the situation and where the Avs currently sit in the Western Conference on the Central side of things. They are right there, dude. Dallas is at 98 points, Minnesota's at 98, which is why that Minnesota game was so big last week. Minnesota's sitting at 98, and the Avs are at 96. So opportunities are in front of you to even, who knows, maybe you overtake, somehow you overtake the standings, and you get atop the Central Division.
Yeah, playoffs start next Thursday.
And they got to squeeze a lot of games in.
Yeah.
They got more games left than the Nuggets do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They got to get them in. Yeah, they got the road trip, San Jose, Los Angeles, and then home, at Anaheim, and then home against Edmonton and Winnipeg. And actually, so I think it's a week from next Thursday, because they've got Friday the 14th, not the 13th, the 14th is their last game. So they're at Nashville, at least according to ESPN. But some of those teams there, I mean, this
17th,
is...
17th
is when their playoffs start. There's a realistic shot that they could jump it up into the top. Now, obviously, they're going to need Dallas and Minnesota to not gain some points coming up. But they're behind Dallas and Minnesota. They don't have Dallas or Minnesota left on the schedule. So they'll be obviously seeing what they can do. But rooting for some of these other teams to lose as well. This could be an exciting year, man. They're both dealing with, like, the Avs are trying to get players back. The Nuggets are trying to figure out whether or not they're resting their star, what they're going to be doing. I want it so badly, like, to be able to have both of these teams cooking in the playoffs, and maybe they don't both win titles, maybe none of them win titles, but how fun was it going to be this spring and summer, Angel, when your Rockies are 2-10, but the Avs and the Nuggets are breezing past their first round of the playoffs? I mean...
Well, what if the Rockies are good?
Then it's a really good time.
So you're just setting us up for negativity.
Because I've been a Rockies fan since I was 4, and this is what they do. Actually, not since I was 4. They weren't around when I was 4. 7, maybe.
What if they make it this year?
I just don't buy the pitching, man.
Well, I mean, it's early. That's 150-plus games left.
That's very true. That's one of the Rockies fans' favorite things to say, is it's early. I texted Tanner this the other day. It was when they were winning. It was the second game, I think, against San Diego. I was like, I think they're going to win this thing. I said, but I'm still nervous that they're going to draw. He said, why are you nervous that they're going to lose this? And I said, because the closers, the situation at hand. And that reared its ugly head. Although there was a really bad call for Feltner, against Feltner. I mean, it was a clear strike, and they called a ball against Will Smith, and then that's kind of what set this whole thing off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's been the closing pitching the last few games. I think closing's been pretty fine.
Except for last night.
Last night, it was like the middle innings, and Feltner had a pretty solid game up to that point. He only gave up 2 runs at that point. Rockies had just taken the lead 4-2. They had all the momentum, and then, you know, it should have been an out to end the inning, go into the 6th. Maybe Feltner goes one more inning there, but, yeah, he just kind of spiraled out of control there, and you just lost it. And that was middle innings. That wasn't a closing pitcher.
Yeah, but it wasn't your starter.
No, but...
It wasn't Feltner that gave up all those runs. It was 4-2 when Feltner was out.
Feltner had it done. It's just bad call.
Okay, you can call it closers, you can call it bullpen, whatever you want to call it. Feltner goes out, and all hell breaks loose with this team, and that's what I'm saying. You got the 2 quick outs, and then, bam, Feltner, they had a bad call, but then it got out of hand after that, and then he's out. Jake Bird comes in, and he allows hit after hit. Jason Hayward hits a 2-run homer, and then it's 9-4. And Feltner's a young guy, too, so he's learning. He's seeing, okay, that was a bad call by the ump, but you got to be able to finish there. And he wasn't, so he's giving him up. But then after that, it just got out of control. Even when it's 9-4, you're thinking, all right, you've scored 4 runs. Maybe you can score a run or two here and make this thing interesting. But, yeah, these are the things that I always worry about with the Rockies, is even when they can get starting pitching going, What does the bullpen look like for the Rockies? What does their closer situation look like for the Rockies? And, of course, Daniel Bard is still out right now. But, yeah, you had Feltner, 7 strikeouts, but also 5 walks. So it was the good, the bad, the ugly a little bit with him. And, yes, there was a bad call, but then pretty much right after that, all hell just broke loose. And the Dodgers took advantage of it. We'll see what they do tonight. They're going up against LA again at 8:10 tonight again. I'm rooting for, man. I watched that game last night. Over a good chunk of the national championship game. And it's because it's what I do early in the season. It's fun to watch the Rockies, and if they can hold my attention for the summer, then I'm all in. I'm going to be. Yeah, absolutely. But this is kind of just that situation where things get out of control for him. Feltner ended up giving the 5, but then Bird and Seabold combined to give up 8, and the Dodgers win 13-4. Are the Rockies, are they 2-4? Because they won their first 2 against San Diego. 2-5? Are they
2-3?
2-3. 2-4. Where am I getting 2-4? 2-3. 3 in a row. Again, you're right. It is early. The positives that you can take. Well, CJ Cron got the player of the week. NL player of the week.
Yeah, I think Chris Bryant's been pretty solid at the plate. Blackman's been solid. Kind of not really sure what to expect from him with his DH role.
Don't know.
He's 36, but he moves like he's 25.
Crone's had some near misses, too.
Yes.
Like last night, he had a near miss. He almost had another home run. But waiting to see Ryan McMahon kind of get into a rhythm. Again, you know, last night's a bad night. Even if Feltner gets that call and suddenly all the momentum doesn't go crazy in that game, the hitting situation wasn't great in that game last night. And we'll see if they can bounce back tonight. But enjoy it while you can. We're getting ready to get into crazy playoffs with the Nuggets and the Avalanche. And you're right. If you can get all three teams rocking and cooking, and then you've got the NFL draft coming up, it becomes a really crazy time to be a sports fan here. 35 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Minutes after the hour. You know, movie I'm kind of hyped to see, Angel, is the new Mario movie. Like, that looks pretty good. Not just for, like, having a kid, for my kid to watch. I'm sure he'll love it. But that looks good, dude. Were you a big Mario guy back in the day?
I was a fairly avid Mario fan.
Like, who wasn't, right?
I played a lot of, Mario Kart, Mario Party.
Never got into the Mario Party stuff.
Yeah.
I never really liked that. Mario Kart, though.
Mario Kart, Super Mario Sunshine, Super Sluggers. That one's probably my all-time favorite.
You probably didn't go back and play. Have you ever owned the old-school Nintendo?
I have a Nintendo 64.
Okay, that's as far back?
I used to have a Genesis, but...
Okay, so you didn't play, like, the Mario
like
and
the
then
original,
Super
like
Mario.
NES Mario?
And, yeah.
No.
That one, the very first one I didn't really care about, but Super Mario World, when you get the cape, if you can get the cape and you can fly around, oh, and then they show you on the map where you can go from this place to that place, and once you keep unlocking these things, it's like, oh, where am I going to go next? It was actually pretty awesome.
I think I could probably name 30 Mario characters.
Oh my gosh, you're better than, I mean, I'm pretty much your basics. Your Mario, Luigi, Bowser,
Peach, Daisy, Yoshi,
Don't know Daisy.
Koopa, Paratroopa, Goomba, Shy Guy, Blooper, there's King K. Rool, Critter, Petey Piranha, Wiggler, Baby Mario, Baby Luigi, Baby Peach, all the baby characters.
Are those Mario Kart characters? Or?
They're all characters in that little world.
But when in the 90s, it wasn't like, here's these characters, it's just their little turtle thingies walking around. They didn't have names. They're just like, oh, let's get that guy.
That's Greg. The Goomba. You just killed him. He's a family.
In the raccoon thing? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
You could get the
power
leaf. Was it the leaf thing that came down and
you pop
up?
You do the flower and you get the fire.
The fire, the star, and you can run through everybody.
The big mushrooms. You can destroy the whole map.
I never got, like, the 64 that was when the N64 came out and they revamped Mario and it was like, the
That's
new age
Mario
of video games.
Sports.
Yeah. That's when it started to really open up that world.
I played Mario Golf, Mario Racing, Mario Baseball. I was probably a big Mario fan.
That's okay. So
probably.
When I said, are you into this? And you're like, yeah, I'm kind of into it.
It's a me.
You're really into it.
Yeah. How can you hate Mario?
Who's your favorite character? Is it Mario?
It's actually not Mario.
Who is it?
It's Diddy Kong.
Oh, love. Dude, Donkey Kong stuff? I play Donkey Kong. For the Super Nintendo, like crazy. Those games were amazing. They did Donkey Kong Country, Donkey and Diddy Kong, and then Donkey, and there was Candy Kong was in the mix.
Yeah, Donkey and Diddy is one of my earliest memories of video games, was playing that at a friend's house. And he always stuck with me because he like would take his hat off and throw it on the ground, like stomp on it.
Oh, I love
that. I love that little
monkey.
Yeah.
You could do his little cartwheels into people.
Mm-hmm.
They could ride the animals when you get the crates with the animals in them.
Yes.
Like a rhinoceros was in there one time, and there's a few different things. But man, dude,
no, that new movie looks really, really good. It looks very like they put a lot of care into it with the lore and all of those different characters.
It seemed like that's the way they're going about things with some of these movies too. Is like, how do I get new fans, but also kind of rekindle that for 36-year somethings.
So then it's like, oh, I see, like, I remember that character from that old game I used to play, and it's like a little background character, but you notice it.
You just notice those little guys.
Like Q-Bert and such.
Q-Bert?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've played that on the Game Boy all the time.
A little orange thing that jumps around in the boxes.
I've played that forever. Did you ever have probably never had a Game Boy?
I did have a Game Boy.
Did you really?
I had a Game Boy Advanced, actually.
Did you ever get a Game Gear?
What's that?
Basically a Game Boy, but it's like sideways, and I think it was Sony.
Oh, no. I never had a PSP, though.
I never had that. I never had a Game Gear. I had the Game Boy, and it was Tetris and Q-Bert, Mega Man, I think, were the games I played on it.
My mom had the old Nintendo Game Boy, like the big gray-looking block thing with the four buttons.
That's what I had. Yep.
And I'd play Tetris on that for
so
hours.
Cool. It was amazing at that point, at that time, to have that kind of technology just in your hand, and you could pop a game in and play it anywhere. And it was three buttons. It was the D-pad and you had your A and B. Yep. But that was fun. I mean, because I was a gamer. I always liked playing video games. Mario was always so much fun, taking turns on that. But Donkey Kong was cool because you could play two people. And that was what was amazing about that game, is you could Donkey Kong or Diddy or whatever, whoever you want to be. It was good, dude. But every time I see that preview, I was like, this doesn't just look like an animated movie that I go, haha, that's probably funny, like the Minions movies or whatever. I actually am looking at the Mario movie going, that's kind of a must-see.
It's got a pretty decent cast, too.
Oh, Jack Black's
Bowser,
and Chris Pratt is Mario.
Charlie Day is Luigi.
There's one. Who's Donkey Kong? There's somebody.
Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen's Donkey Kong. It makes sense. I don't know who else is in it.
It was like the four main ones.
But it's just funny because Luigi gets captured, right? That's kind of the premise of the thing. And then the little mushrooms and all that. I mean, it was just a weird world. It was a crazy world growing up with that. But that's what they're doing. They're coming back and they're getting you. They're getting my demographic, your demographic, the younger demographic, the upcoming gamers and stuff. Like, it's genius with the movies that are coming out.
Do you see HBO is looking to do a Harry Potter reboot?
As a
series?
As a TV series?
Yes.
With the old cast or not? There's no way.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I thought they were remaking, they were doing a new Harry Potter movie.
I saw that, and then I saw the HBO series reboot this morning.
A series would be pretty interesting, but I'm just...
Do we need to do Harry Potter again?
We don't need to do the Fantastic Animals or whatever. That was terrible. And then they recast Johnny Depp's character in it, which totally threw me off. Because that was during his trial and stuff.
Do we need to see Ron, Harry, and Hermione all doing the same things over again? Just watch the movies.
Yeah,
they're everywhere. Just watch them.
They have 4 million movies. It's like Marvel. All right. I don't know. Beetle is Marvel or DC? I don't know. Blue Beetle.
Blue Beetle is DC.
I saw the preview last night. It's funny because you were talking to me about it, and I saw it. It's the Cobra Kai kid. I can't do any more of these stories, man.
It starts to feel just kind of generic.
It's like
there's not much else you can do.
Don't know what to do with my life, and then you got some diehard friends.
Here's a magical item for you.
And then this item makes me a superhero, and now I'm going to go fight crime, and then I'm going to meet with the Avengers down the road. I can't do it anymore. I was watching an interview with Quentin Tarantino and Bill Maher, and Bill Maher's like, there's movies with ideology. It's all about whatever term you want to call it, the woke term or whatever, or superhero movies. That's what it is nowadays. Like, it's movies that are going to be good enough to make it into the Academy Awards because they have to follow the certain rules now, right? Like, you can't really make a medieval piece nowadays, a historic medieval piece, because if you want to be included in the Academy Awards, because you have to have a certain percentage of your crew is of a different race and women. Well, again, back in the day, they didn't care about all that stuff. That's just how it was. So, or it's superhero movies. And, dude, I was there. The phase 1 through 4 through the Avengers stuff, 100% in on that. That was so much fun. But then COVID hit, and we got all these maybe it was before COVID.
Like a year after COVID.
4 million TV shows. For another 18 movies coming out. And mostly about characters I just don't care about.
Brady, you haven't read the comics.
I don't have time to do all that stuff. and I don't care about the characters. Is it some of the fun? I mean, I saw Guardians is coming out, the new one. I want to see that, but I also looked at my wife. I was like, I have no idea if there's a bunch of other crap that I'm going to need to know that are pointing into that movie.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I just don't. That's why it's like, give me Mario.
Mario's simple.
I'm going to watch Mario, and that's good. I like complex stuff. I do series and different movies and everything, but we get to a point where you're just adding so much, I can't keep up with you anymore.
I mean, if you go back to even the early 2000s, we've almost had 20 years worth of superheroes.
Nonstop,
like, dude. Go back to, like, the Spider-Man and Daredevil and, you know, Blade and all those movies.
They're all the same. I mean,
they've had this stuff for years.
They're not all the same, but they do have a lot of the same principles. And we can only go so far with them. It's crazy. But yeah, give me Mario. Let's do that. All right, let's get to what we learned today. Coming up on the other side, it's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Tanner Schwint this spring for Preps Baseball on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this fourth day of April, Angel? Here's what I learned quickly. My Twitter poll right now, you guys do not want to see Nikola Jokic sit out until the playoffs. That's what you're telling me, is you'd rather see him go. I also learned, again, we already knew this, but San Diego State, all this stuff, moving around, conference tournaments. I've learned that it might be best to be patient here. Wait and see what happens with all these TV deals, because that could be crucial for the Mountain West, Pac-12, all these guys.
I think what I learned today is, be careful what you wish for when you ask for parity in sports.
Because
we love to give everyone an opportunity, and we love the upsets. We love the Cinderella stories, except when it's a championship game.
Yep.
We'd rather have the best teams play each other.
Well, and UConn wasn't like they were a Cinderella story, but
They were an underdog compared to the other teams.
Correct,
in this tournament.
Correct. But you don't want to see David and then semi-David. Yeah. Like, you don't want to see, you want to see David and Goliath or Goliath and Goliath. Yeah, that's it. You don't want to see David and David. And again, this is why the NFL has it down. They give you just enough parity to think that there's hope that Miami could pull off an upset and win the all the way through this year. But not enough. And then, bam, they bounce back with, yeah, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah,
they tease
Tom Brady.
You with the, hey, this could happen. You know Trevor Lawrence, what they did last, what if that happens next year?
All it takes.
But it won't.
It's a couple,
it'll be someone else.
The Titans were in a little bit of a window for a moment. With Derrick Henry doing amazing things with Ryan Tannehill. Well, that went out the door. The Baltimore Ravens were in this magical window with Lamar Jackson. And that's gone out the door. At the end of the day, they go right back to it. The script tells you. And again, all kidding aside, the NFL just has it right. It's just something about the way football is and the structure of it all. And they don't need a best of three to decide who the champ's going to be. But then they don't always, the best team doesn't always win the Super Bowl. I mean, they might be the best team that day against the team they're playing, but that doesn't always mean that. But they found this magical ingredient that gives you just enough to keep you guessing. But then going back to, ultimately, you still get to see your Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady and all those guys still at the forefront. College basketball, the men's tournament, the ratings were down after the first weekend. That's kind of the norm, or that I felt like that's going to be the norm, excuse me, going forward, is you're going to love that first weekend. But as we progress here and you keep seeing Cinderella story, it's not going to be so unique anymore. You know, San Diego State should have been the Cinderella story, but because they played a bigger Cinderella story in FAU, it didn't feel as magical. Their run didn't feel quite as magical, at least to me. Doesn't mean you're not a basketball fan. Just means that it wasn't as exciting as it could have been. And the national championship game was certainly not that. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.